new ownership and has been completely remodeled and renovated. The Clearwater Travel Lodge has clean, upgraded rooms. Call 727-451-8900. 451-8900. Call the Clearwater Travel Lodge at 727-451-8900. Clean, upgraded rooms now at the new Clearwater Travel Lodge.
This is Brian Cash of the Brian Cash Clause Radio Show. We're on every Monday between 3 and 4, and what we do is sponsor small businesses such as
Boss Cuts on the corner of Bel Air and Belcher.
Every week, Mondays, 3 to 4 p.m., please tune in. You can receive valuable deals. A lot of people think that the BCC magazine stands for Brian Cash Clause. It actually stands for the best coupon company. This radio show is where it really pays to listen.
Hi, folks. This is Tom O'Brien. Join me Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. where I take your calls. And together we bisect and dissect the broad market. Gold, the dollar, bonds, oil, and international markets. If you want to understand how price and volume move markets, how the world markets are correlated, and be an overall better informed investor, then tune in from 4 to 6 right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey listeners, tune in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. I'll play some groovy 60s, 70s music, talk about some far-out cars, and I'll bring you up to speed on some bitchin' car shows, swap meets, and vintage racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network, AM 1340. We'll talk about project cars, we'll talk about your cars, we'll talk about special parts, we'll have featured cars, we'll talk about auctions, resto shops, resto tips. So be sure and tune in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars, Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network, AM 1340.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. It is our Tuesday edition, and we hope you had a safe and a restful Memorial weekend. We're glad you're with us. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk first about Israel and whether they now are about to lose a significant part of American support for what's occurred aboard a provision ship for Palestinians. Big, big, big story. Also, is Canada now being forced to reassess its national health care program? Is it coming to grips with the reality of the intrinsic flaw of socialism via the free market? Well, we're going to talk about a story that has cropped up over the weekend that may lead you to believe that that is what's going to occur. And also, a federal judge tells two Connecticut public schools they cannot hold graduation in a cathedral, even though it's a huge building that can take in all of the students, because it violates church and state separation. Is that the right decision? We'll talk about that as well. Meantime, this is Tampa Bay's only regular, ongoing libertarian radio show, Freedom Works. And we are here to talk to you and to champion the concept of less federal government in your life, more personal freedom, more personal responsibility, all the good things we believe, and we're so glad you're with us. We come to you Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Network. We're also available on our website, thefreedomworks.com, thefreedomworks.com. Please go there and find out more about what we're all about. Find out if you're a libertarian. Find out about the history of libertarianism. Find out about the Libertarian Party. All kinds of things. Also, if you want to call us, we have a toll-free number. It's 866-826-1340. 866-826-1340. 4-0. And an email address, you want to send questions or comments to us, freedomworksemail@yahoo.com, freedomworksemail@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you go to our website, thefreedomworks.com, you can also listen to our previous programs. We archive them there, and you can also contribute to the support of the program. Anyway, a huge story. It might be a turning point story for the state of Israel. They have boarded one of six ships that was going in a so-called humanitarian trip to the Gaza Strip. During the boarding, they were attacked by people on the ship. There were about 500 people on the ship. A group of those people attacked the Israeli soldiers that boarded the ship. It was caught on camera. And during the skirmish, you could see soldiers being whacked over the head with boards and pipes. One soldier was tossed overboard on the ship. You could see it. In the meantime, the commandos pulled guns and started firing. And by the time the smoke had cleared, there were at least, if I have got the latest numbers here, at least six people on board the ship that were killed. None of the soldiers were killed. The UN Security Council this morning has called for a, quote, impartial, unquote, investigation into the commando raid. And the UN has condemned the acts that resulted in the loss of what they now say are nine lives. I said six, nine lives. After an emergency meeting and marathon negotiation, it lasted nearly 12 hours. The 15-member Security Council finally agreed on a presidential statement. It was weaker than what was initially demanded by the Palestinians, by the Arabs, and also by Turkey. There were a lot of Turkish passengers on that ship. And Turkey has been somewhat of a mediating country in the very flammable Mideast, not so much after this incident. The Islamic nations have called for condemnation of yesterday's attack in the strongest terms. And they also want an independent international investigation. Well, the fact that there were cameras, and I think there were more than one that were taking pictures, will show the world that, first of all, that it was a tinderbox to begin with. And the flotilla, the question was whether or not they were going to provide weaponry to Hamas. And the Israeli commandos that boarded the ship initially were supposed to be going in there to check to see if that was the case, but they never got around to it because the fighting immediately broke out as soon as these commandos started landing on the ship. But I heard an interesting comment this morning on C-SPAN network. Somebody called in and said, you know, for years we've condemned the apartheid in South Africa. And isn't the treatment of the Palestinians in and around the Israeli settlements very similar? Are Palestinians treated with the same second-class citizenry as blacks were during the apartheid days of South Africa? And I thought about that. And I think to some extent there's some truth to it. Now, the situations are not the same exactly. There's been a lot of, it's been historical dislike between Jewish people and Arabs, Palestinians, and the other groups that have been in the Mideast for thousands of years. But there is this question of the settlements that Israel has made inside the Gaza Strip and the treatment of the Palestinians, which are, for the most part, let's be honest, they have not been able to, for whatever reason, be more than somewhat nomadic. They haven't really been able to collect themselves and form strong governments on their own. This is why you have things like Hamas, groups that will come in and influence them and inspire them to take aggressive action. So when you throw those kinds of people into the mix, you get sort of a no-win situation over there. But the truth is that Israel had the guns, and those in the flotilla, no matter what the reasoning was for what they were doing, those in the flotilla did not. At least they were not brandished. And somebody at some point gave the commandos, the Israeli troops, the go-ahead and use your guns signal. And that's when the real trouble began. It's going to be some time. There's going to be a lot of talk about it. The question of whether and how the United States responds. Prime Minister Netanyahu, who was in Canada at the time and was scheduled to meet with Obama this week, immediately canceled his meeting with Obama, rushed back to Israel. Now, there's been, let's be honest, no love lost between Obama and Netanyahu. The link between the United States and Israel perhaps has never been weaker in the past 40 years or so, as it is right now with the Obama administration. So there's a lot of things going on. Anyway, let's do this. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Canada's national health care program. Is it falling apart? We'll be back.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The legend of Krabby Bill Loader began on the northeast coastline of this great nation of ours more than 30 years ago. Seafood lovers couldn't wait to get their claws on Krabby Bill's fresh, hand-picked crabs, oftentimes getting them right out of the back of his truck. In 1975, Krabby Bill picked up his wife and kids and moved to South Florida. Over the years, they opened several restaurants, each built around Krabby Bill's special love for fresh, no-frills, good-eating seafood. He was smart, too, and put one of his children or grandchildren in charge of each restaurant, making sure there's always a good bit of Krabby Bill around. We serve the biggest and best drinks on the beach and beyond. For starters, enjoy buffalo shrimp, fried gator, onion rings, baked oysters, clams, mussels, shrimp, and oysters, to name a few. Your favorite beach sandwich comes with complete with fries and coleslaw. Or enjoy yellowfin tuna, catfish, salmon, gulf grouper, bay scallops, stuffed flounder, mahi-mahi, lobster tails, and much, much more. Enjoy tummy-tempting combination platters also available at the Krabby Bill's on the roundabout on Clearwater Beach.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Listen to Let's Go Bowling at its new time every Wednesday, 12 to 1. Each week we'll have interviews from stars. The tip of the week brought to you by USBC Gold and Silver Coaches. Check our website out for our latest contest we have each month. Just go to GoBowlingShow.com and you can listen to our previous shows. Listen to Let's Go Bowling at its new time every Wednesday, 12 to 1 Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay. entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on FreedomWorks. As you know, Krabby Bill is one of the sponsors here on the Tantalk Network, and a very, very sad story over the weekend. One of the relatives of the Krabby Bill family was killed when her car drove over a seawall in Madeira Beach at, I believe, at one of the Krabby Bill facilities. And she was killed. And Big Ed, do you have any background on that? He's kind of looking it up. But we wanted to pass on our deepest condolences to the Krabby Bill family, the entire family, the employees, and everybody connected with Krabby Bill's. The woman was, and I do not have her name, I apologize, but the woman was apparently much beloved, a longtime member. Ed, do you have?
Dolores White was her name.
Dolores White, longtime member employee of the Krabby Bill family. And I believe that Krabby Bill himself is... has been or had been up north when it occurred. They're going to have him come down for the services that will be held later this week. But again, our condolences to Krabby Bill's for the very, very tragic accident to Dolores White. Well, we're going to stay over seas for a couple more minutes. I wanted to talk a little bit about both Al-Qaeda and Iran's bomb-making efforts. First of all, Al-Qaeda's number three co-founder of the terror network has apparently been killed in the border area between Pakistan and Afghanistan, according to a statement that came out on Islamist websites yesterday. The statement did not say how he was killed, but his name was Saeed al-Masri, whose real name was Mustafa Abu al-Yazid. Now, he was Al-Qaeda's financial director, ran its operations apparently in Afghanistan, and it was he, al-Masri, who shortly before 9/11 transferred several thousand dollars to Mohammed Atta, the leader of the 9/11 hijackers. And at one point, they said he was also Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law. That apparently is incorrect. He was not. Now, they've reported this guy has been killed before, but that was a mistake before. This is the first time his death has been acknowledged by Al-Qaeda, who added that his wife, three of his daughters, his granddaughter, and other men, women and children were also killed. So it sounds like there was some sort of drone attack or bomb that must have done it. One senior U.S. official says that al-Masri was killed in an attack by a missile-carrying Predator drone aircraft. And other sources say the attack actually took place more than a week ago. It's now just being announced. So it sounds like this time the story about al-Masri's death, which has been confirmed by al-Qaeda, is apparently true. Well, Iran is not going to go away. They have amassed more than 2 tons of enriched uranium. This according to the International Atomic Energy Commission. The agency said that this is the case in a report yesterday. 2 tons of uranium would suffice for 2 nuclear warheads. Meantime, Iran says, no, we're not using it for nuclear warheads. We want to pursue civilian nuclear energy. They're going to have the greatest, strongest amount of electric lighting in the country of Iran when they're through, if that is the truth. Now, the report from the Atomic Energy Commission, or it's actually the Atomic Energy Agency, says Iran has now enriched over 2,400 kilograms to just over whatever is 3% level. I guess that means that they are reaching the point where they can start to create these nuclear weapons. That means shipping out 1,200 kilograms now would still leave Iran with more than enough material to make a nuclear weapon. So that ongoing problem is Barack Obama's got a lot of things going on, doesn't he? If we don't have the oil spill, we got the problem now with the commando raid in Israel and the ongoing problem with Iran. Now, the question is this man now up to this? I think a lot of people are starting to worry, quite frankly, about whether or not Barack Obama is facing things, not of his own making, of course, but is facing problems that he may not be prepared to really deal with. Now, you know, he's always taken a sort of hands-off professorial approach to things. That has been the big concern and criticism during the BP oil spill. What are you doing? There's also a bit of, if you remember the presidential candidate that ran against George H. Bush, now I can't even think of his name, but he was very low-key up in Connecticut. And they said that his lack of passion, especially when asked a question about whether or not he would believe in the death penalty if his wife had ever been assaulted, raped, and killed, blah, blah, blah. He answered it with such a lack of passion that some people say that was what did him in his race against George Bush. And Michael Dukakis, that's who I'm thinking of. I was hoping you'd help me, Big Ed, but you stood there with this blank look on your face.
It's technically Monday.
It is. That's why I couldn't remember. But Michael Dukakis, anyway, Michael Dukakis was always portrayed as somewhat professorial. And that lack of emotion seemed to do him in when it came to George H. Bush. Now we've got the same kind of professorial approach, perhaps you could say, with Barack Obama. And the way he treats things rather... They kind of call him the Dr. Spock of the presidency, don't they? He doesn't seem to have a lot of passion behind what he says, right or wrong. Anyway, speaking about his response right now to the Gulf oil spill, robot submarines are down there furiously, I guess, carrying equipment, cutting small pipes. They're preparing to place a new containment valve over this blown out well. Now, they are now saying none of the other things they've done so far really have worked. This is yet another containment plan, but they're not holding up a lot of hope that it's going to completely stop the oil gush, even if it's successful. Now, BP could begin cutting through the riser, the thing that's actually spewing the oil into the Gulf, as soon as tomorrow, after which they will attempt to place the cap-like containment device that would siphon the mixture to the surface. Now, they say after they place the containment valve over this riser, they would connect a pipe to a separate opening on the blowout preventer at the blown-out well to suck oil to the surface. Now, this opening, same one they used to inject that mud, remember that top kill thing? They were going to dump mud and then concrete. This is the same opening. Now, BP says that this new thing would supplement the cut and cap procedure, help keep more oil from leaking into the Gulf. They're not saying it's going to completely stem the flow. Now, they also say that they're working on building a sturdier freestanding pipe to carry oil from the containment effort toward the surface. The new freestanding pipe would end about 300 feet below the surface, and a flexible hose would then be attached to that pipe, and it would carry oil the rest of the way to the surface ship. But it doesn't sound like they're going to have complete success, apparently, until they structure those what are called relief valves down there to take the pressure out of that one spot where the hole is. And if that is the case, we may be seeing Gulf oil spewing into the Gulf through a good portion of the summer, which is very scary. Very, very scary. Here in Florida, we've been very lucky so far. we're finding out more and more about the Gulf Current or Florida Current or whatever you want to call it. It tends to keep things like this from coming towards us. In the meantime, people in Louisiana are beside themselves with rage. They're taking out their anger both on BP and on the administration. And I think we get a real sense of how really, what's the word, unpowerful the federal government is. They collect a lot of money. They mandate that you send them a lot of money. And I guess if money is power, they're powerful. But when it comes to carrying things out, we're beginning to realize that they are very, very, they're very, very helpless. They can stand around and transfer money, and that's about all they can do. But then we've got a federal government who has lost its way and lost its mission statement. Where is the mission statement? Take a look at the Constitution. There's your mission statement. Trying to do all things for all people, they end up doing nothing for anybody. Or at least doing whatever they do very, very badly. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break, and as promised, we're going to talk when we come back in the next segment about the national health care system in Canada and what's happening to it. What's going wrong with it? So don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, we offer an exciting, independent lifestyle. It's the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips to shopping, restaurants, local theater, and so much more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy an on-site wellness program, rehabilitation clinic, and home health services. We have security 24 hours a day, and each apartment is equipped with an emergency call response system, answered in-house by our caring, compassionate staff. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury retirement living, all with a million-dollar view of beautiful Clearwater Bay. Call us today at 727-445-4069 and let us welcome you to gracious retirement living, where caring, compassionate service makes the difference.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Ken from Dining Out Radio. Are you tired of going to the same old restaurants? Why not listen to Dining Out Radio and we'll tell you some of the best restaurants in the Tampa Bay area. We'll have chefs on talking about their favorite dishes. We'll have wine people on talking about the greatest wines. We'll have a lot of guests on there and we might even throw in a couple of surprises. Heard every Wednesday, 1 to 2 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. You can go to our website, diningoutradio.com. Dining Out Radio brought to you by Watercolors Steakhouse and Grill.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. And my calling board man, Big Ed, tells me that if you go to BP.com, you can see the live feed with the pipe cutting that is going on 5,000 feet below the top of the water in the Gulf where this leak is occurring. It really is. It's a fascinating shot. And by the way, the clarity of this video is unbelievable. It's a robotic, what would you call this? Some sort of a robotic power saw. Yeah, it's amazing. And there you can see it actually cutting through the pipe. The camera that is recording this is right there, right next to it. So
big circular saw.
Big circular power saw.
Look at the teeth on that thing.
Look at that. Isn't that something? It's really something to watch. Anyway, BP.com. Go there and you'll look for that live remote feed. Well, we, as promised, we want to talk a little bit about what is going on in our neighbors to the north in Canada. Pressured by an aging population and the need to rein in budget deficits, Canada's provinces taking tough measures now to curb their health care costs. Now, that's a trend that could erode the principle of national health care in the Maple Leaf Country. The most populous province, Ontario, has kicked off a fierce battle with drug companies when it said earlier this year it's going to have, it would have, as in cut in half, generic drug prices and eliminate what are called incentive fees to generic drug manufacturers. British Columbia is replacing block grants to hospitals with what is called fee for procedure payments. And Quebec has a new flat health tax. A flat health tax. Remember, we've talked about the flat tax here, right? Flat health tax. And a proposal for payments on each medical visit. That's an idea that critics say is an illegal user fee. But this is what's beginning to happen in Canada, the home of national health care. Also, a few provinces there are experimenting with private funding for procedures like hip replacement, knee replacement, cataract surgery. Private funding. Now, what's happening? Well, they're running out of the money to be able to fund all of the visits by the people in the country. You got to remember, the entire country of Canada is smaller than our state of California. And you can use Canada, like you can use the state of Massachusetts, as an experiment lab, if you would, with all due respect to both the country and the state, to see if national health care would work in our country. There, certainly Canada is much like us in terms of culture. And over the years, people have become very dependent upon their national health care system. And I can speak from within my family, because I'm from Canada, a lot of people very much believe in the whole concept of national health care. I have all kinds of arguments with some family members about it. And as a libertarian, I've always thought, you know, when you're spending other people's money, eventually it's not going to work and you run out of it. It seems like that's what's happening now in Canada. Now, they got the same baby boom generation that is getting older. And you know that as people retire, reach the age of 63, 64, 65, they just are bound to end up making more trips to the doctor. And when you got, frankly, when you got more time on your hands and free health care, you tell me, would you use that service more or less than if you had to pay for it yourself? Now, official figures in Canada show that senior citizens, those 65 and over, are going to make up 25% of the entire population by 2036. So they've got to start looking at whether or not they continue a national health care program. Here is a senior economist at Toronto Dominion Bank. His name's Derek Burleton. He says, we cannot continually see healthcare spending grow above and beyond the growth rate in the economy, because at some point it means crowding out all the other government services. He says at some stage, we're going to hit a breaking point. And as we said, the Canadian debate right now is the mirror image of discussion going on here in the United States. They want to cut back on some of these procedures that are not life-threatening. And there's already a waiting period, an unbelievable waiting period for certain surgeries in Canada. And many people say that because of the waiting time, conditions get worse. Even things turn to life-threatening when you have to be delayed for months from seeing a specialist. A lot of people in Canada, frustrated over that, come down to the United States, just cross right over the border, maybe to Minnesota or Massachusetts, and book a visit with an American doctor. You heard about the, I believe it was the Prime Minister of either Newfoundland or Nova Scotia, the head person there in the province, coming down to the United States for a procedure because, quite frankly, he was going to get a better job done down here. Now, healthcare in Canada, technically, publicly funded, covers all medically necessary, they call it medically necessary hospital and doctor care. It curbs the role of private medicine. In fact, if you're caught billing customers for national health care service, you get in trouble with the government. You're not allowed to do that. But the provinces in Canada combine with the Canadian national government to provide the care. So there's a shared system there. Provincial budgets use about 40% of their money to provide this health care to the people in their provinces. Now, spending in Canada for health care has been going up 6% a year. Well, it looks like they're just running out of this whole system of money. It's funny that this is happening in Canada, while socialism in other countries is also starting to dry up the tank or the well. Obviously, we know what's going on in Greece. That same problem is like a virus has started to take hold in Spain, which may be the next big country to be affected. Basically, Greece is bankrupt. It cannot pay its bills. It's almost a complete social democracy. It is a complete social democracy, as is Spain. And all of those countries that are the social democracies there are starting to run out of money. Now, a lot of this has been moved forward quickly because of the worldwide economic recession that we have been going through. And things have come to a head a lot quicker. But Canada, you know, these are the first signs of the crack there. Canada is much like Europe in its culture when it comes to social programs. But they're running out of money. And here we are in the United States, a country that's been known for its free market, capitalistic approach and success under it for all of these, hundreds of years? Now we've decided, let's be like Europe. Oh, great. Well, they're starting to maybe realize that they've got to become more free market. And here we are thinking we should become more and more socialistic. How do you figure that? But that seems to be what's going on now. So let's keep watching what's going on in Canada with their health care. It's going to provide a lesson for what is to come here. Well, in Connecticut, a federal judge says that two Connecticut public high schools cannot hold their graduation ceremonies inside a huge cathedral church. Why? Well, that would be an unconstitutional endorsement of religion. Forget about the fact that it's the only building in town with enough seats to seat all of the graduates. Now, U.S. District Court Judge Janet Hall has made the ruling. It was a ruling made yesterday, Memorial Day. It involves Enfield High School and Enrico Fermi High School. They're both in Enfield, Connecticut. The Enfield School Board said it voted to hold services June 23 and 24 at First Cathedral in Bloomfield because it had enough space at the right price. It was a matter of economics for them. But two of the kids and three of their parents sued. So the judge, a federal judge, said Enfield was unconstitutionally entangling itself with religion by agreeing to cover much of the, even if they agreed to cover all of the church's or much of the church's religious imagery. She also says the town coerced the plaintiffs to support religion by forcing them to enter the church for graduation. Isn't there a point where just common sense makes a decision? If you've got a building that is large enough to hold a ceremony like the graduation for these two high schools in Enfield, Connecticut, what will happen to the students that happen to go in there and sit down and go through the graduation? Are they going to be somehow unduly influenced when they come out? Will they be spouting prophecy or biblical phrases? I don't think so. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we do things like this and ignore the bigger laws of our country that are clearly on the books while we go after these little technicalities. It's a very scary scenario, I think. I mean, I am wholly in favor of people's freedoms, not freedom from religion, but freedoms of religion. But you've got to give people some credit for intelligence, especially those that have been able to graduate from a high school. They go past those that cathedral all the time, do they not, in that town? They know it's there. How is going in there to accept their diplomas somehow going to scar them? It just doesn't make any sense. Is it because somehow money exchanges hands and the Enfield public school system gives a few bucks to the church for renting? I don't think the Constitution was meant to keep government completely away from the concept of even acknowledging religion. Certainly that wasn't the intent. Do you think this same kind of a problem would have occurred if the founders were around and that little situation occurred back in the 1700s? I don't think so. I think they would gladly open up the church. I know they would, and hold the ceremony there. But that's what it's come down to now. It's a misinterpretation of the Constitution. Again, there is no freedom from religion. The word from being the important word in there. Freedom of religion. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, going to look at a poll that says Americans are just plain stressed out. Deep in the heart of Texas and round the Frisco Bay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Let's face it, life doesn't take days off, and now neither do we. Introducing 7-day service at all 12 AutoAway Tire and Service Centers. Now you can get your vehicle serviced by factory-trained technicians 7 days a week. It doesn't matter what you drive. The AutoAway Tire and Service Centers are equipped to service and repair virtually every make and model. Plus, AutoAway guarantees the lowest service prices. And right now, we're celebrating our new 7-day schedule by offering 7 service items under $20. That includes oil changes, tire rotations, wiper blades, and more. Each for under $20. So whether you need service Monday through Friday or Saturday and Sunday,
who are you going to call? AutoAway!
Get 7-day service at all 12 AutoAway Tire and Service Centers. Plus, for a limited time, 7 service items for under $20. For locations or to schedule your next appointment, visit AutoAwayService.com. That's AutoAwayService.com.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Money. It's the one thing everybody can't ever seem to have enough of. This Friday, Your Money Professors Mike Van Horn Beck and Christian Biter from J.W. Cole Financial and Jonathan Roberts Advisory Group will explore the important financial issues and challenges that we all face daily. And of course, your money questions and comments are also welcome. Your Money Professors, enlightened financial sense in a senseless world. Fridays at 11 Eastern on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA. Deep in the heart.
Hey, we're back in Freedom Works, and between the end of last week and today, we lost several more celebrities. Dennis Hopper, at the age of 74, passed away, I believe, from the effects of prostate cancer. Everybody remembers Dennis Hopper. Goes all the way back to the early 50s. He starred in the movie, he was one of the stars as a young man in the movie Giant that was made back in the 50s. And, of course, became legendary for Easy Rider, didn't he? And then he became kind of, he always got those roles, I guess, whether deserved or not, as the crazed sort of off-kilter kind of guy. And he did them so well. But dead at the age of 74 from prostate cancer. And then little Gary Coleman died. Kind of a sad situation. Gary Coleman, who was, of course, the star of Different Strokes. And before that, he was this cute little pudgy child actor. It would appear in all of these commercials. I remember the commercials even before Different Strokes. And I used to say, wow, what a cute little kid that is, you know? He had all kinds of physical trouble, though, from the moment he was born. And he was on dialysis, failing kidneys. He had heart trouble. And I forget how old he was. He was in his 40s, wasn't he? I believe he was in his 40s. And he had, he had to have all kinds of dialysis treatment on an ongoing basis. So not surprising, but very sadly, we mourn the passing of Gary Coleman as well. And then this morning, Ted Koppel's son was found dead, apparently after a drinking binge. Legendary TV newsman Ted Koppel's son found dead in a Washington Heights apartment under what were called mysterious circumstances yesterday morning. Well, I don't know how mysterious it is. Apparently he drank himself to death. He had been on a day-long drinking binge. And apparently the drinking binge occurred with a man he had met in a Midtown bar, according to law enforcement sources. This is Andrew Koppel, Ted Koppel's son. He was 40 years old, lived in Queens in New York. Paramedics were called to a rundown apartment. And there he was found unconscious, not breathing, in a bedroom. So, sad news, and our condolences to the family and to Ted Koppel. Well, there's a new poll out, and surprise, surprise, it says that Americans are deeply stressed out these days. Apparently the economy and debt are the reasons. There are new jobs produced, but it says old worries persist for people, despite belt tightening and and now boosted savings. This is an Associated Press GFK poll. It says about 46% of those surveyed say they're suffering from debt-related stress. Debt-related stress. And half of that group describe their stress as great deal or quite a bit. On the other hand, about 53% say they feel little or no stress at all. So 53 to 46, huh? That's in line with findings from last year, even though times seem better today. That's what they say. Don't know if they're really better. Is it really better when the unemployment rate is still where it is? Around 10-some percent? Well, the economy is allegedly growing and generating jobs. That's what they say. That's what I'm reading in this story. But I don't think that I can see why there's not much difference between last year and now. Because I don't think there really is that much difference out there. Maybe people are just getting more used to having a 10% unemployment rate. It says in this story here, why are people not less stressed today than from a year ago? And then they say it just doesn't feel much like a recovery to many people. So unemployment's still at 9.9%. And those that do have jobs apparently are watching their paychecks shrink, according to this story. A lot of a growing number of people still at risk of falling into foreclosure. And it says here, only those with the most stellar credit can probably get a new loan. Well, okay, there you go. Stressed out. Well, I don't know if that tells us anything. We knew that already, didn't we? Big Ed, are you stressed out?
Well, it has been
it's
a long
kind of tough,
weekend.
Isn't it? Yeah, well, you're supposed to have relaxed over the weekend, feel less stress, you know, lay out there on the beach, just take her easy. And I know I had a good time. I was watching one of the Rays games, by the way. I'm a White Sox fan, and the Rays split with the White Sox. Then they go up to Toronto, and I guess they lost last night. Mm-hmm. I guess that'll cause some stress in your life, right?
Well, I saw that survey, too, that I think it's when people, not about what's happening today, but I think they think down the road is when the stress factor comes in. You know, what's going to happen next year, or, you know, we got the oil thing going on, and people get frustrated because nothing's happening, or it appears that nothing's happening, and you know, we just don't, maybe we don't get the right reports in, who knows. And that whole thing with the Israeli thing, you know, I don't know. Do we have all the facts on this yet?
No.
Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff happens around here that the outside world doesn't get the full facts, and they condemn for what we've done, and there was a reason. You know, do we have all the facts?
No.
Yet? So that's,
I know we don't. They've got those camera shots. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, well,
it looked like, I mean, you can.
From what I heard, the Israeli soldiers had paintball guns?
They had both. They came on board apparently with paintball guns, but they had handguns.
Well, you know what? When Iran is watching every move you make, trying to do something like that is not going to help their cause. I can guarantee you that.
The cameras showed...
I still haven't seen it yet.
I've seen a couple of them. One in particular. And as soon as the Israeli soldiers landed on deck, they were being kind of dropped in, you mm-hmm. know. As soon as they landed, they were attacked by a group. Now, there were there were six ships. This is one of the ships. And as soon as they started to land, a mob went around them. You could see they had bars and they had sticks. And they're whacking these soldiers.
Somebody knew they were coming?
They could see that they were coming, mm-hmm. right? They could see that they were told that they were going to be boarded because they were going to be inspected.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They were going to be inspected. Right. So they knew they were coming.
All right.
And in fact, the flotilla, in a way, was trying to go through this blockade. There's a blockade to the Gaza Strip that Israel has set up mm-hmm. already. So this flotilla was already technically in violation. They claimed that they were delivering humanitarian aid for Palestinians to the Gaza Strip. So this is, you know, there's a lot of emotion going on here. But I can tell you from that picture that those soldiers were immediately pounced on. And in many ways, and you could see one of the soldiers being tossed overboard. So I'll tell you what, the jury is still out on it, but it's a very tense situation. My friends, thank you very much for being with us on FreedomWorks. Join us tomorrow again, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Meantime, goodbye for now.
In Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, and around the Frisco Bay.